tell you what, if something big doesn't change this week, this is the week that tells us, maybe not in a clear picture, but I think this is the week that tells us how drastically different the world will be if things don't make a big change this week. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the week, if we don't see a huge turnaround in new cases, new deaths, new recoveries, new cases worldwide, especially here in America, where, I mean, the UK has some really cool stuff that comes out every now and then. Bollywood has had some success entering the Western markets. There's some things Asian, usually horror movies, but every now and then there's been a couple Korean dramedies my wife has watched that seemed popular on Netflix. But really, like, America's the heart of the entertainment world, and if things continue to go the route that they go this week, have been this week, I think we enter forever changed territory. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, entering this past weekend, a lot of big decisions were being made. Even things like Universal Studios and Disney World in Florida saying closed until further notice. Well, Disney, I think, said that. Because they had been giving timelines. They had been like, all right, guys, we'll look at things in a couple weeks. I think they were trying to do early April, and now they're just like, until further notice. And so when you got a company as big and powerful as Disney saying until further notice, meaning they don't want to put a date on it at this point, that's a big deal. And that shows what they're projecting things to be. And so that's a big deal. You're hearing, I mean, there's so many rumors out there. Maybe we'll touch on it later, but as far as what different studios are looking to do. But yeah, I think you're right, because originally everyone was hoping this thing would wrap up mid, late April, and maybe May we'd be going back to somewhat normalcy. And I think they're starting to realize that might not be the case. And if it's not the case, the industry has to evolve, all of it. Whether it's comics, video games, film, TV, etc., you know, this is affecting everything.
Well, according to worldmeters.info/coronavirus, they seem to have a decent tracking on things. By world, 704,000 total cases, 33,000 deaths. Which is a staggering 4.7% death rate, but it's a little bit different in America. 133,000 cases, 2,000 deaths, 4,000 recovered. So you're looking at just over 2% death rate. But when you website Stat News broke it down by ages a little bit better, saying 80 and over death rates 10%, man, it's huge. 70 somethings 5%, 60 somethings 1%, 50 somethings 0.37%. And getting lower and lower each, you know, 40s, 30s, 20s, to where it's statistically 0% in 29 and younger. Yes, there have been people 29 and younger that have died, but statistically speaking, they're one in thousands, which is a statistical zero.
And it's not this thing that a lot of people aren't really completely getting. It's not the death rate that's the issue. It's the rate at which infection happens. And people, too many people get it all at once. You know, think flu season's like 6-7 months. So even if you have 10, 20,000 die, they die over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And infection is over a long period of time. This is all happening so quickly. It overwhelms the medical system, the emergency services. That's the conflict. That's what's destroying, you know, that's what's causing Italy and Spain, the UK now starting to have issues, and obviously the United States.
And America, New York with 59,000 cases so far.
Which is not surprising, the way this thing spreads. I mean, it's such a dense population. I mean, it's
the lowest cases of South Dakota was 68.
Hmm.
Alaska has 85, man.
That was, that was
nobody's safe from this at all.
All 50 states. And growing. And if you look at the map, like specifically certain areas that were fine a week ago, specifically like in the South, have all of a sudden jumped way up. So you have like Florida, Texas, go over to like Georgia, Tennessee. They weren't doing too bad about a week ago. It's changed. North Carolina also.
Yeah. Pennsylvania, Illinois, Louisiana, Florida, Massachusetts, Washington, Michigan, Cali, Jersey, and New York make the top 10 in reverse order from 10 to 9. And right below that line, the next five, Georgia, Texas, Colorado, Connecticut.
They're coming up.
And it's crazy. But let's go to say good morning, everybody. This is LR Mornings, believe it or not. And I am your host, Kyle, joined today by...
Brian.
And... let's start getting into some of the entertainment implications now. We've covered some of the serious stuff. Hopefully, we haven't lost too much of the audience. We're getting to a point now. It's April. You've already had some studios push things back to October, November. You've had a lot of studios pull their stuff indefinitely, like Disney, Mulan, and Black Widow come to mind. They're indefinitely pulled back. But you start looking at the calendar, and let me see here.
Theatrical.
This is all stuff I should have had pulled up before I started the show. So sorry, I was running late for the show, and I just wanted to hurry up and get going. And we start looking. Let's see here. Me and you kind of talked last night, thinking this is going to hit its peak around May or June.
Yeah,
and then we're going to see around August the recovery rate.
That's
overtake.
Our hope.
Yeah, that's our hope, looking at like what happened. Can't believe everything in China, but what happened in China, can't even really believe everything happening in Japan, because they're wanting the Olympics to go off as soon as possible, even those have been indefinitely delayed. But just kind of like looking at how things have apparently gone in the past pandemics, Brian and I thought May, June seems like that's when we're going to hit our maximum. And then you're going to see that curve everybody finally starts talking about coming back down, with maybe August being the time that we really hit a good, strong recovery rate, where that curve begins its steep drop, recovery rates overtaking death and new cases, with September, October looking to be the mop-up months, right?
That's the hope.
So
yeah. And also
that's the hope.
Look at the entertainment industry, how they're gauging it, like Wonder Woman being moved to August. So they want to make money. So whatever they're doing means they think that's when they can make money. So,
right.
You know, gauging
Let's look at starting in May. What's the big stuff that happens in May? SpongeBob movie. If theaters are open, I think that one gets released, because I don't think they were expecting to make a whole bunch anyways. If theaters still aren't open, I don't know what Nickelodeon does with that.
Those VOD.
they make some money. Yeah, VOD is a real possible chance for that one. May 29th, beginning of what's supposed to be hopefully a new Disney franchise, Artemis Fowl. What do you think they do with that one?
That trailer was horrible. That's my opinion.
A lot of people were disappointed in that. It looks like they're making him too heroic, and he's really supposed to be a bad guy.
I've not read them, but I work with kids, and so I know about the character. I've heard plenty about it.
What did they think about?
Thought it looked okay. But I don't know. I don't know what they spent on it. I think that's gonna be an important factor. But if the reception based on the trailers aren't looking good, they may just be like, you know what, this thing could be another. What was
125 million?
I mean, I don't. That's tough. I don't know. What was it? Tomorrowland? Was it George Clooney? Is that what I'm thinking? Yeah. You know, they spent a whole lot on that, and it was supposed to be a franchise, and it bombed, and I don't know. This was giving me vibes like that.
Yeah, Tomorrowland budget was, jeez, $190 million.
Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah, definitely. At least $40 million of that went to George Clooney.
Probably, yeah. Honestly.
So, Artemis Fowl, you're not quite sure if video on demand it or try to pull it and push it back.
If now, I'm June, them, VOD.
If you're them, VOD.
If I'm them, yeah.
June, Candyman. Everybody's been really looking forward to this remake for the new Candyman.
I would do one of two things.
Co-written by Jordan Peele, who, you know, has made his name from sketch comedy over to horror.
Yeah.
I must admit, I'm even interested in what Jordan Peele does with Candyman. It's a horror movie. I'm thinking video on demand.
Yes, I would. Maybe recalculate when. Maybe hold off till October-ish, September, October. I don't know. I don't know if people are going to be in the mood for that in the summer. That's another question.
I mean, that's definitely one where you're like, yeah, you're fighting competition, moving it to October, but maybe just because
we even dropping it VOD in October, you know, that might be.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Pixar's Soul. You know, Pixar wants a theatrical release, especially after what happened to poor Onward. What do you think they do with Soul?
Damn, yeah, so many. That's a tough one, man. It's
got a lot of implications because it's a very diverse movie. Deals with jazz, so there's definitely some huge African American influence. Involvement, you know, like cultural stuff that's going to be involved in that, which is something that we don't get necessarily enough of in mainstream movies. You know, there are of course movies that are made out there that cover this type of subject, but this is a big deal. Pixar, you know, following an African American character and his journey, and it deals with jazz music, and to me it seems like one of those movies Disney really wants out there to show it's divert. You know what? What I'm trying to get at?
This is one where I might, since there's not been a massive advertising campaign yet, I might sit on it till 2021 and give it a proper theatrical release.
Yeah, January, February.
I think exactly. That might be, if I'm Pixar Disney, that might be what I'd be looking at, because, like I said, you also got to look at the advertising. Have you spent a lot of money on it?
Yeah, they really haven't spent on advertising yet.
So this one you could shelve till next year.
June 24th, Top Gun Maverick.
Damn. I don't know that. I could see, when is Mission Impossible? I don't know if he wants to. Shit, you may move that one. I don't know. I can't imagine seeing that.
It's $152 million.
Yeah, and it's built for the big screen, literally.
Yeah.
Damn, you might have to just move that to next year. I don't know, man. Dang. Yeah.
Was the next mission? No. The next Mission Impossibles were already 21 and 22, right?
I think it was going to be two. Yeah, they were like doing them back to back.
Yeah, they back to back them. July, Free Guy. That's one of those that they could. They haven't done a lot of marketing for it yet, so that's one that could also move to next year. Ryan Reynolds flick. Let's see here. Can I get a budget?
Looks expensive.
Not even the numbers.com has a budget on it. Yeah, so I don't know. It does look expensive. My guess is it's easily $150 million plus movie. Ryan Reynolds, he brings in money usually. I could see them wanting to move that one. What do you think?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, there's another thing we have to discuss as we're going in this. I think there was a room, you did a piece on it the other day about Disney possibly looking at Mulan and Black Widow.
What are your thoughts on my amazing written piece?
It was a good piece. You can find it on lrmonline.com.
Thank you for the plug.
But if that were to happen, that would change the conversation, because I think other studios would be looking at that. If Disney is willing to do it with, you know, big budget films. We also have to keep in mind, and this is there's so many moving pieces with this. So AMC Theaters is struggling right now. Okay, all the theaters in the United States are closed. Well, most of them are closed, not all of them, but a large amount of them are closed. It's not a guarantee when this thing is over that they'll all reopen. Some, you know, what I'm saying, some could go under, and if you have that plus the fact that you may have people that are just maybe they're afraid to go to the theater, maybe they're afraid to go to a large gathering. Yeah. So because of these two factors, it's possible that a movie might not be able to make what it would have made a year ago.
Yeah.
And if you're a studio and you calculate and think, you know what, this movie a year ago would have made, you know, $800 million, but it may only make four this if I release it in theaters. If that's the case, it may make more sense to go ahead and drop it on video on demand, charge $20-$30, you know.
What if you do both? You
offer absolutely. That's a possibility. Yeah.
Both. My biggest question is what the split is with services like Vudu or whoever you're going to use video on demand. I'm fairly certain Disney can work with its programmers and put Black Widow and Mulan behind a paywall, and they can make 100% profit putting it behind a paywall on Disney Plus.
Which
could not only sell more memberships, but you know, you purchase it through Disney Plus, and now you've like literally 100% profits going straight to Disney.
I would, if I was Disney, I would 100% do that. But this is how I would do it. I would release it to all the other markets at a marked up price, maybe say $30. Release it on Disney Plus for maybe $20-$25 at a discounted price, pushing the incentive for more subs so you can get a discounted price on a premium theatrical release film.
You hope a bunch of people sign up for the free 7-day trial just to get Black Widow and Mulan, which I wouldn't release at the same time. I'd have them released a few weeks apart at least. And then people see, oh, the Mandalorian. Let's see what everyone was talking about. Oh, that's really cool. This Jeff Goldblum docuseries is pretty neat. And then they decide to keep it. You know, they joined it 7 days for free, but now they've decided to keep it because of what else is on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's money to be made, man. You know, I mean, look, if Black Widow dropped right now and it was $30, I'm paying the $30 and I'm watching now.
Me too. You know, tonight.
And, yes.
Like it's happening. Like tonight.
Is there a price you wouldn't pay? That's a good question. How high would you go?
I think 30's my max. For a 48-hour rental. I don't think you're going to get people. I had mentioned this to Jammer before. If you offered $40-$50 where you get the 48 rental and on the home video release, the 4 months down the road, you get a code where you already get the digital copy, then I can see paying $40-$50 right off the bat. Because you're going ahead and you're paying for the 48-hour rental and your digital copy of the movie. But for special effects films, I'm still a physical medium guy, but because I don't like audio video compression that you get via streaming. So
Yeah, me too. Know. Yeah, I think 30 is about where I would draw the line. I don't want to say more because I might go 35, but that's where you're getting into that territory where
if tomorrow you see these things coming out at $34.99, you can thank Brian for giving me the idea that there are people willing to pay 35. A couple other movies I wanted to discuss that are coming out before our August September timeframe that we think things might start opening up. Ghostbusters Afterlife.
That's a big one.
That one still hasn't had a lot of TV play. Maybe they've been holding off because of the virus, but you've had two trailers, and it comes out July 10th, which is a Friday. What do you think you do with that one?
Here's the problem with that one. That's the one that you got to be a little more careful with your decision, because it's potentially the setup of expanding the franchise and merchandise.
Yeah.
You know, you could have toys, etc. So this is one that isn't just a film. This is one that you're hoping becomes an ongoing product. Yeah. So that one, I don't know. That one, they got to be a little more careful with what they decide to do. Is that a movie that if you put that one on video on demand, do people look at it as a discount film? You know what I mean? Do people look down on it?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have, you know, the last memory we have of a Ghostbusters film is not the most positive. And so, you know what I mean? That's one I don't even know what I would do. It's a little more.
I do know this. Once you put something on video on demand, the piracy rate goes way up, because now you've got a clean copy. It's no watermarks from screeners. It's not filmed in a theater illegally. But it's captured. People have the ability, despite Hollywood's best efforts, to still capture their screens and their audio through watching something on a computer. Piracy goes way up. Do you think that would affect bigger movies like Black Widow, Ghostbusters, potentially? Do you think they'll suffer more? Do you think they'll suffer more piracy than normally expected during theatrical time?
It's sort of untested. Probably. It'll affect all of them to a degree. But I think something like Black Widow would still make decent money just because of what it is. You know, it has a built-in fan base, but something like Ghostbusters, like I said, the problem with that is you could have somebody saying, you know what, I didn't care for what they did in the last one. I'll give this one a shot, but I'm not going to pay for it. So like you said, they may pirate it just to, you know, check it out. Ghostbusters is the one that they got. I would be careful. I don't really know what you do with that one.
Well, let's look at what you and I think, you know, October, November, we're opening back up. So, these are the movies that people will, be having to decide, to put things here. October, you got, Venom 2, Halloween Kills. That's really it. There's other movies, but they're not that big. There's the new version of The Witches, from Zemeckis. Who knows what that might make. Octavia Spencer, Anne Hathaway, Stanley Tucci, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a whole. I think if you plopped Black Widow on October 9th, I think it does well. You know,
when does Venom come out? Not.
Venom hits October 2nd, so you did do it a week later, and you place it between Venom 2 and Halloween Kills. Or you can place it at the end of the month, October 23rd. There's nothing. There's everybody's talking about Jamie's Snake Eyes and Those Who Wish Me Dead. But there's not a lot of space. I don't think Disney could place both movies in October. Because, like I said, Venom 2, which unfortunately some assholes are going to go watch this movie. Fucking jerks.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't put it too close to Venom.
You know what? It might be a good idea though. Is drop Black Widow right there to take money away from Sony as a power move to be like, haha, our prequel about a lady that's already dead did better than your Venom. Are you sure you don't want to give us more Spider-Man time? You know what I'm saying? Though,
but that's a gamble. You're assuming that Black Widow will outdo Venom. I don't know that.
In America, it would 100%.
I don't know that either.
Even with the Tom Holland cameo, I think Black Widow does more in America. It's that Chinese market that I can't stand. I will always separate my complaints about if I say something about China, I'm usually saying something about their government, because their government's completely separate from their people. The people don't even really have a real voice in their government. They have a fake one. But I do blame the Chinese people for some things, like making Sony think they can make good movies by pushing Venom so high. $800 million for that.
But
fuck,
but
man.
Going back to the Black Widow thing, look, I'm no advocate for Venom, but Carnage will be in those trailers. I would not underestimate Venom.
So you wouldn't want to place it in the week in between?
I would not. Because Black Widow I don't know, man. I just wouldn't want to make that gamble. I don't know. I think they could hurt each other.
Would you put it... the only other thing that comes out on the following week is Halloween Kills. Do you put it up against that, or do you wait till the 23rd and put it there? Or here's November. We have the Eternals.
I would put it
Godzilla
in that place.
Vs. Kong. And No Time to Die. Those are the three big ones. Do you try to put Black Widow in November?
I didn't come up with this idea. I've heard it online, but some people have said, why not shift the calendar? So put Black Widow where Eternals was going to be and then shift everything down one. To me, that might be the smarter move.
Yeah, could be. You're supposed to have four films come out next year. The first time you get four films, we're getting Doc Strange, Shang-Chi, a Spider-Man movie, and I forget what the other one is.
Because if you shift everything down, it gives those films that had the stalled production a little extra time. You just shift them down. They already have the dates locked in. And nobody, I don't think, is going to dare move their movie on top of an MCU movie, you know? So they may hold on to those dates and just shift everything down. One, the only, whatever, I can't remember what's at the end. I think Thor, you just need to find it a new date.
Yeah, Thor's the last one in 2021. Yeah. Thor, Doc Strange, Shang-Chi, and Spider-Man. So you just push them all up and put Eternals where Shang-Chi was. Shang-Chi goes to where Doc Strange was. Doc Strange goes to where Spider-Man 3 does. And then do you push Thor, Love, and Thunder to 2022?
Maybe. Possibly.
Or do you release five movies in 1 year? Considering Black Widow's already it. Done.
Looking at the money situation, because the whole reason they're even, let's say they go ahead and release Black Widow, online and don't give it the theatrical release. Well, honestly, you made a good point where you were saying do both. Why not release Black Widow online, right? And then also give it a theatrical release, push it out. When the Eternals
choice,
yeah, and that way you build it up like, hey guys, you saw it already, but hey, let's see it on the big screen the way it was meant to be seen. Shift the calendar down, drop it when Eternals comes out, and then move the calendar down, move Thor over, and like I said, that gives everyone who's stalled productions, give them a little extra time to get their films. I think of that, all that would work out. You'd make all your money. I think you would get. You'd make a few bucks. Look, we just don't know how people are going to react when theaters do open up. So that,
especially if there's still cases out there.
Absolutely.
Even if we're in recovery mode, are people still going to be afraid to get infected?
And it's going to depend on the market. Like, your big cities, people may be less inclined to go, which will affect the overall box office. So,
yeah,
it's such a complicated problem. Yeah,
some of these movies that have August and beyond release dates, they're still being worked on at this moment.
Yes.
So and that could have stalled, like you said. One last movie to discuss before we leave. What you think will happen? July 31st, Morbius.
That's a tough one. That could easily get moved to next year. Mm-hmm. I could see them doing that. You did. When was Tenet? Was that August, July, or August?
Tenet is July 17th, and it goes up against Bob's Burgers.
Christopher Nolan, he's made it crystal clear. He, unless the studio forced him, there's no way he's putting that VOD.
Yeah.
So that's a film that I guarantee will get moved to next year.
It'll have to be moved.
Yeah, that'll be moved to 2021. But yeah, no, Morbius might get moved to next year. There's a possibility.
Fucking put that shit on VOD.
It could. It depends on if they need the money. That's another issue with Black Widow. Look, Disney's hurting right now. They're hurting bad.
Yeah.
Those parks. Yeah. I mean,
a lot of their money streams, movies and parks are gone right now.
So
they've got lots of things in production costing money. Some productions are on hold now, they've got sets in buildings that they pay to rent, and they still have to rent them because they've got stuff in them. But there's no work being done. I can see a lot of issues.
Yeah,
it's crazy, man.
So they need some money,
We are, and I still think there should be some experimenting with doing that video on demand and theater releases at the same time, whenever theaters are back open, because I think that might be the way of the future for a lot of lesser spectacle films, more of your comedies and dramas and thrillers, even horror movies. I think a horror movie stands to make more money doing both releases, VOD and theatrical, than it does with just a theatrical run for 3 months. Because I think a lot of people would like the idea of sitting at home with their significant other, the lights down, and watching a scary movie at home. But then you're still going to have those theater buffs like you and I that want to go see it on the big screen.
Yeah, like Halloween.
Any thought on that?
I'd go see Halloween the weekend it comes out, and then if it was on video, I'd rent it on Halloween, on the actual, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's one I could see doing both within the month. Getting the theatrical experience, and then, you know, on Halloween night, you know, renting it and watching it again. So, yeah.
Well, I think we learn a lot during this week. And regardless, like you and I were talking last night on the phone, yes, Brian and I are long time friends. If you're brand new listeners to the show, I've known Brian almost 20 years. Fuck, we're old. we were talking last night, you know, about permanent changes to everything. Like you said, the theaters, some of the locations may not open up again, and man, the world's changing, like 9/11 style, our level changes coming to our world. And I think a lot of things depend on how this week does. Do we start bending that curve, or is it still a line going straight up?
Look, comic shops, Kevin Smith talked about it this past week on his podcast. A lot of shops will not survive this point, you know.
No.
Most of them are only, you know, barely surviving month to month. This will kill a lot of them. And that's an industry that's been on the decline for the last, you know, about 5 years anyway. So that's a big deal, man.
Even digital comics really hasn't kicked off very, very well. It's crazy. My heart, thoughts, prayers, all that good stuff goes out to everybody that has been dealing with infections, and I hope they recover. All the listeners out there, man, wash your hands, use your hand sanitizer, be smart. We care about you guys. So, I think that's a good place to end it. We're running a little long anyways. So, a little bit of a somber episode, but interesting. Let us know in the comments below which movies you think you should, move, which movies you think you should just put on video on demand, or kind of split it up, do a theatrical release with a video on demand at the same time. We've been discussing for a long time on different podcasts that theaters themselves were already dying, and the only thing keeping them alive were Marvel movies, Pixar, and Star Wars, and man, there's going to be a day brand new releases are going to go just straight to your house. And I just hope theaters survive in some format, so that way when I go see the third Spider-Man movie in theaters, I get that experience of being with the crowd and the energy and the cheering and the all of that. I really do love the theater experience for that stuff. So, you guys know what to do. Check out LRMonline.com every single day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel. Los Fanboys is now a live show on Fridays. So check that out. Of course, the podcast itself is also uploaded once recorded to our LRM Online Podcast Network. Wherever you get your podcasts from, we're there from Google, Spotify, Stitcher, everything. We're on it all. I like SoundCloud. We're not sponsored by SoundCloud or anything like that, but I like it best because they allowed us to make playlists for you guys, so you can actually go and listen to everything in a particular show, whether it's Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, which hits on Mondays, or it's LR Mornings every Monday through Friday. It's there. It's there for you guys and playlist format. So check all that out. Subscribe. And please share us with your friends and family. You got a person into geek pop culture that doesn't know about us. Share us, man. It helps us and helps you. So yeah, do all that. Brian, you have an online project, right?
Yeah, you can check me out on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos. That's PulpMythos. That's one word. I'm covering Westworld currently. There's new content up. Go check it out.
Please do that, and please subscribe to his channel and share that with friends and family as well. You guys can always argue with me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening and sticking with us today, guys. Good luck. Wash your hands. We'll talk to you tomorrow.